The study that you collaborated on found that Zika directly infects brain progenitor cells. What are those?
So brain progenitor cells are the cells in the brain that can eventually give rise to different types of cells, including adult neurons. And when the virus infects these brain cells, we found that there are a certain number of cells that actually die from the infection. They literally just sort of round up and you know, die. And then there's a number of cells that survive the infection, but then they continue to make more virus over long periods of time, which we found to be quite interesting, is that we could actually detect virus being made for many weeks after the initial infection.
What are progenitor cells? What's their purpose?
So these are the cells that actually give rise to your brain. So without them, you basically will have, an underdeveloped brain, which is what we see with the Zika virus-induced microcephaly cases. And this is a severe, severe congenital birth problem.
Why is Zika infecting those cells? Out of all the cells to infect, do we know why Zika is infecting these?
Well, there's two issues, I think. One is that it has access to the compartment, which is sort of unusual. It's able to breach, one, the placenta, and then it's able to get into the fetus's brain. And then once it's in the brain, it targets these cells specifically, these progenitors. And so that's one sort of unusual characteristic of this virus, is that it has multiple ways of getting through different barriers to ultimately infect these different brain cells.
And this is kind of a big deal. Have scientists figured out how Zika enters the womb, how it does break the placenta barrier?
There's just a relatively brand new study that just came out this week showing that there are certain cell types in the placenta that this virus is able to infect directly. And what we think is happening is it crosses those cells through the placenta, and then it can gain access to the fetus.
Your study also shows that Zika evades the immune system. How?
So what we did is we basically looked for hallmarks of the immune response in these neural progenitors. And this would be induction of molecules that would cause sort of alarm to the immune system. And we don't see those things being produced. However, if you stimulate the cells with other types of things that normally would activate the immune system, they appear to be capable of being activated, but the virus just doesn't do it.
Is this normal for a virus of this type?
There are definitely cases in which these viruses can evade what you call it evasion. So they can evade the immune system. And so it may be that this is just another example of this virus being able to evade the immune response in the cells. Alternatively, it could be that the cells have a special property in which they're just not able to mount an immune response.
News out from Utah has health authorities investigating a case of Zika that seems to have been transmitted between family members. Eliminating sexual contact and mosquitoes, how else could this virus spread between two people?
Right, so this case is really interesting and really new. We don't know a lot about it yet. Not a lot of details have been released, but it appears that this person who was infected was being cared for by a caregiver. And what we do know is that the person who was infected had very high levels of virus in their blood. And so it's formally possible that this was a simple needle stick. Maybe there was some sort of accidental, needle stick by some sort of, if the caregiver was doing some sort of treatment. And we know that the virus can also has been detected in saliva and urine and other bodily fluids. So if there was a very high level of the virus in these fluids, then there could have been some sort of transmission to a mucous membrane or a cut in the person's hand. There's definitely ways to think about how this could have happened that aren't too surprising.
What makes Zika unique? Why are health authorities so concerned about Zika?
Well, one, it's a very unusual disease manifestation for this family of viruses. So the family includes dengue, it includes West Nile, but we don't see these kinds of birth defects with these other viruses. And so I think that it's just alarming in terms of how the type of diseases it causes and the multiple ways in which it appears to be transmitted. So not only through mosquitoes, but also sexually. That's pretty unusual.
Dr. John Scoggins is a professor of microbiology with UT Southwestern Medical Center. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.